The Old Testament reading for Ash Wednesday is from Joel chapter 2. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Consecrate the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priest, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord became jealous for his land and had pity on his people. The Lord answered and said to his people, behold, I am sending to you grain, wine, and oil, and you will be satisfied, and I will no more make you a reproach among the nations. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 2 Peter chapter 1. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to
God. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. and your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." You may be seated. On numerous occasions in the four Gospels, Jesus warns against hypocrisy. And that's because hypocrisy is deadly. The especially dangerous nature of hypocrisy is the facade it creates before others and the heart that goes along with it. But our sinful flesh operates in this way. It wants to take things that are good and use them as a means or a tool to gain an advantage over others. Rather than a call to repentance, rather than a call to a new way of life, the hypocrite wants attention. He wants accolades. Now, these don't have to be grandiose. The old man isn't picky when it comes to hypocrisy. He's content with being seen by someone, perhaps maybe who's just sinned against him. And now he can leverage his own righteousness over this sinner. The old man likewise doesn't need his 15 minutes of fame, but he rejoices when people admire how pious, how devout he is, especially as he shows others his works, his prayer, his fasting, and the like. Because at the end of the day, the old man delights in himself, and he finds his confidence in his God of self-righteousness in his own heart and in the eyes of men. Now, even in Lent, there's a particular danger of hypocrisy that tempts the old Adam as well, that takes what is good and turns it into a means to seek advantage over others, or to put an unnecessary burden, or to find our confidence in something other than our Lord. The disciplines of Lent are fine outward training. They're good, and they're beneficial things for God's people, and there's a reason the church has emphasized prayer, fasting, and almsgiving during this time. But don't forget what God teaches you about the very core of what he's calling you to. He tells you it's a matter of the heart. The prophet Joel said, "Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments." You see, God doesn't want a hypocrite. No, what he wants, what he desires, the sacrifices of God are a broken and contrite heart. Heart that is humble before him. And so it's a real danger to lose sight of the heart of the matter when it comes to outward things, even which are good, and turn them into something they are not supposed to be. Even think about Ash Wednesday as one example on this day of the church year. Martin Chemnitz, in his examination of the Council of Trent, talks about how ashes at the beginning of Lent had become a shadow, that is, a show or a spectacle of repentance, or something that imparts a blessing or act just by going through it. All the while, real repentance, real humility was diminished or disappeared. Disciplines and spiritual exercises are to be for your benefit and not a burden that turns you against the things of God, not something you leverage against others to be exalted by them, or to find your confidence in them to trust in yourself. So Jesus then gives us these examples today in the gospel reading. And for example, fasting, he says, "And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Now, every year we hear this reading on this day in the church year, and we know that Jesus doesn't say, "Don't fast." No, he says, "When you fast," because he is assuming you are going to fast. But what he warns against is the abuse and to examine your hearts in the process. Because the whole purpose is to deny yourself something for the sake of more focus on the need for Christ, who you are as a creature, and your dependence on the God who even gives you your daily bread. Yet another example of this, too, as we think about preparing for the things of Lent and during this time, confession and absolution. The Augsburg Confession and the Apology of the Augsburg Confession vehemently defend and retain the practice and extol the countless blessings and the consolation of Christ which confession and absolution give. But it addresses and warns against when this practice become an unnecessary burden on consciences. When things like listing every sin or obligatory days of confession as well as acts of penance to show your sincerity were added to the good and beneficial practice that Jesus gave his church for the consolation of the gospel. Now this Ash Wednesday also coincides in the church year with the commemoration of Martin Luther. February 18th is the commemoration of his death. So be remiss if we didn't have at least one Luther quote. So when Luther then, in his brief exhortation to confession, famously says, "When I urge or admonish you to go to confession, I'm simply admonishing to be a Christian," his purpose and goal is the heart of the matter: repentance and consolation in the words of the absolution, that is, the forgiveness of sins. He said a similar thing in the Small Code articles when he wrote, "Absolution or the power of the keys is an aid against sin and a consolation for a bad conscience. It is ordained by Christ in the gospel. Therefore, confession and absolution should by no means be abolished in the church." So this is why we avail ourselves of confession and absolution. It's why it's beneficial to fast or to give something up for Lent, directing you to humility, but not making a show of it, or if it becomes an unnecessary burden on your faith. We don't put burdens where God has not. To turn the freedom of the gospel into law is also a form of hypocrisy. It takes what is good and makes a show of it. And so hypocrisy is deadly. And God calls you, a Christian, to live the new life that you have been given and to live this out in faith toward him and in love toward your neighbor. God calls you to righteousness. He calls you to practice your righteousness, to be sure, but he calls you to remember whose righteousness you have and what this means. God calls you to love. He calls you to good works, especially when no one is looking, as Jesus said about giving to the needy. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So God warns you against hypocrisy and urges you to faithfulness for your whole heart. He calls you to fear, love, and trust in him above all things. He calls you to seek first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He calls you to adorn your life with the fruit of what you have been given in Christ, and to live who you are as a new creation in him. St. Peter writes this in the epistle reading. He says, "His divine power has granted to us all things that to pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. Listen to your Lord tonight. Listen to him. Examine your hearts and see where your true treasure is found. It's Ash Wednesday, and so the reality of your sin hits you on the forehead this day. Examine your life according to God's law and see where you are dust, and to dust you shall return. The grave stands open, looking to swallow its next victim, young or old, man or woman. It makes no difference. There are crosses in black on your foreheads tonight, unless we messed up and it's a black blob, but it's supposed to be a cross. And those around you that you see, because you're sinners. We are sinners, and the wages of sin is death. And so we listen to our Lord and what he says to us. We examine our lives, and he says, return to the Lord. But you know, here's the thing in all of this on this day too. You have ashen crosses on your head, but you notice what they are. They're crosses. Listen again to the prophet Joel. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. You see, you have been marked. You've been marked as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. You've been marked for death, and in baptism you have died and risen with Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 15, God inspired St. Paul to write, "The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven." So Jesus is the second Adam who came from heaven, the one in whom there is no deceit, the one who has redeemed those under the law. He's the one who took upon your sin that takes you back to the dust, but he's atoned for it. And now in Christ through faith, you who are of the dust have life. And so after this contrast then of the dust and the man from heaven, 1 Corinthians goes on further to say this. He says this, "I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall all be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come the pass, the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. But God washes away your sin, and he raises up the dust and breathes life. Your sin is forgiven, and the day is coming when you are raised from your grave. You will be raised from your grave just as your Lord Jesus is the crucified Lord who is risen. Because you see, Lent is only a little while, and the end of Lent brings about Easter. This season is marked with the ashes, but those are only temporary. The Lord bore your sin on Good Friday and paid it for you. He was laid into the grave and on the third day rose from the dead. That's the image before you today and every day. You're marked, but you're marked by Christ the crucified and risen Lord. And the day is coming when you will be with all of God's saints before the throne of the Lamb, not sitting with black, ashen, and sackcloth, no, but waving palm branches and clothed in white. Because that's who you are as God's people in Christ. That's what he has clothed you with in the waters of holy baptism. God has washed away the ashes and clothes you in white, even now as you belong to him, your saints. And so, dear saints of God, hypocrisy is deadly. Don't fall prey to its ways and snares. And Lent is here. Lent is derived from a word for springtime. It's a time for renewal. So rend your hearts. Remember you are dust and humble yourself before God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people. Yes, pray, fast. Give to those in need out of love and compassion and not to seek advantage over them. Daily turn from your sin and know your own mortality. Yet in all of this, fix your eyes on Jesus and see your Redeemer. See the Lord who is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Because he has made you, and he doesn't despise what he has made. No, he has redeemed you in Christ, and he gives you a clean heart and a right spirit. And there is not one iota of hypocrisy in what God says, or what he does, or what he gives. No, with him, there's mercy. With him, there's plentiful redemption. This is who your God is. This is Jesus, your priceless treasure. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.